Men's overcoats. When the rain and snow fall, and the wind blows, and the temperature drops, we don protective outer garments out of necessity. For the tailored man, the outer layer of choice will be the overcoat, a heavy, knee-length coat with a collar and lapel. In the colder months, the overcoat is an easy style move that distinguishes the well-dressed from the dressed-up. However stately a man's suit, if he walks in off the street with a ski parka covering it, the parka will define the first impression he makes, and the suit will look, it's just not going to look right when it comes into the light. On the other hand, when you walk in draped in a knee-length coat and your scarf smartly tied around your neck, you make a distinguished impression that will stick even if you take it off to reveal a polo shirt and blue jeans. Of all the garments we wear, the overcoat has perhaps changed the least over the past century, so that one of high quality is truly a long-term investment. And guys, just to nail this, I think so many guys miss the boat here because it is a bit pricier. I mean, my overcoats start at around $1,200 to $1,500, but it's something that I don't care if you get it from a thrift store, if you go out and you buy it secondhand used, if you go purchase it at the men's warehouse, find a good quality overcoat. So the single-breasted overcoat is the most common, and for good reason. On a bright fall and winter day, it can be worn without a scarf or with one just trimming the lapel up to display your shirt and tie. In the freezing wind and snow, double your scarf around your neck and turn the collar up for protection from the elements. Besides the single-breasted standard, overcoats may be double-breasted, with or without a belt. The belted model is sometimes called a polo coat and is actually a little bit less formal, although in today's day and age, it's still a pretty formal jacket. You're going to find these in black, charcoal, navy blue, and even in camel. And they're going to be great as they're going to really create a strong silhouette for the body. Now, most of the overcoats you're going to see out there are dark in color. However, there are other lighter color options. I touched on it, but camel hair has long been a favorite of the New England, I would say, higher class. And a big part of this is thanks to its incomparable, I mean, it's just incredibly warm, it's durable, it's soft, and you get the right type of overcoat. Just brush it after every wear, pay attention to the bottom, and you're going to be able to keep it clean. And again, it's a classic traditional color that you can even wear with a dark colored suit and it's going to look great. And it's really going to stand out from the crowd as well. Now, you can also bring in checks or other types of patterns. You don't want to bring in any type of stripe. In fact, you rarely ever see that in an overcoat fabric. But you can also have an overcoat made out of a heavier tweed or some of these other fabrics. And be aware that although that's classic, especially if it's of a darker color, it's going to be a bit less formal and it's going to be more memorable, which is going to mean it's not as versatile as what I consider to be the classic, which is solid charcoal gray. Now, whatever coat you decide to go with, the first thing you want to think of is the function. So I live here in northern Wisconsin. My overcoat is one in which it is incredibly functional. I've actually devised it so it can fully close up at the top. The lapels roll back up as they used to. Sometimes you won't find this on other coats. And mine fully buttons all the way to the top. So the scarf actually is a secondary protection. And my overcoat does a great job of coming up high on my neck. So you want to pay attention to those details. However, if you're going to be down, let's say you're over in Northern California, the San Francisco area, or you're over in the Carolinas, having an overcoat that can protect you from negative 20 degree weather isn't the highest list on your priority. So you can go with one that's lighter weight and going to be more for use of just more show and when you go into a big meeting and it's still, you know, below freezing outside or maybe even in the 20s or 30 or 30s or 40s and you want to look good. I hit on it, but I want to further elaborate. Really make sure that whenever you go buy an overcoat that you're wearing the suit or you're wearing whatever you're going to wear underneath it. I have one client, he wanted me to make an overcoat specifically for whenever he was wearing dress shirts because he never wears jackets. In any case, make sure that you have on underneath what you're going to normally wear. Try on that overcoat. The shoulders should be about an inch larger than your suit. So on each side, they should fall over about half an inch more. But you do not want this thing to be too large. And try to avoid, most overcoats out there off the rack are going to be square in shape because they're trying to fit so many men. And even more so than jackets, there's a smaller market for men that are going to buy overcoats. You want to find something and make sure to check with your tailor or seamstress that she will be able to alter this and bring in some waist suppression if you could get it. In addition, look to maybe tighten up those sleeves. And also note, it's better to buy an overcoat that's a little bit longer than too short, because you can always bring it up and have it shortened. All right, this ends my section on overcoats.